Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going after him.
Yeah. A lot of people, I don't think, understand how good Memphis football has been in the last decade. A lot of people are like, Memphis losing by 30 is a weekly occurrence. And people are like,
no.
They lost by 30 once in the last 56 games?
Yeah.
And it happened in 2020?
Yeah. So Georgia fans are already at it. I have not looked at social media.
There is a conspiracy brewing in the comments, too, that Ryan Silverfield, Florida native, is.
I knew it. He's from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I knew it. And I think we'd have to ask him. I'm not. I may have to stay away from this coming up on Thursday. But I don't know if he grew up a Florida fan or what. But usually in the state of Florida, when he was coming up, you're probably a Florida fan. Or Florida State, I guess. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, Jonah Dillon will join us. He is the Tiger football beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal. We will talk to him about this game, what he thinks, what is going to happen coming up on Saturday. Arkansas versus Memphis, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Jonah Dillon covers Tigers football and the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. He is on X at the Jonah Dillon. Jonah, why'd you go with the in front of your Twitter handle as a Northwestern grad? Isn't that an Ohio State thing? Like that?
Okay. I'll tell it as quickly as possible. It's a very random story. My fantasy football team, I want to say circa 2011, led to the championship by Jimmy Graham. I'm not a Saints fan. Became a huge Jimmy Graham fan for that reason. Loved his touchdown celebration, right? Like the dunk on the goalpost. His Twitter bio or his Twitter handle was at the Jimmy Graham. So when I made a Twitter account, which was then, I made it at the Jonah Dillon to copy Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
So again, just a bit, you know, you led my fantasy team to a championship, big fan. And so I just always kept it. And now people are always like, you know, why are you doing that? What's it about? No, it's about Jimmy Graham. So there's the reason. Shout out to Jimmy Graham, by the way, just retired, I think, earlier this year.
Yeah, even though I thought he was retired already. I always love the announcements of, like, the NBA leads the league in it, but where they announce guys retired that I figured have been retired for 5 or 6 years. It's
always
great.
It's like, well, you haven't played. Yeah, especially when guys like don't play for 2 years and then they're like, I'm announcing my retirement. It's like, well, what else were you doing the last couple years?
Well, right. I'm glad we got the lore on the Twitter handle to start this because I want to get right into the Ryan Silverfield radio show last night. You ended up posting this. I'm sure you saw it. It's gotten picked up by On3 and everything else, but Ryan took a shot at another SEC SEC team. I'm going to play the sound and we'll talk about it after. All right, Jonah. My first reaction was, I'm sure Georgia fans are going to handle this in stride. I have been told by Connor they have not done this. Ryan does not have a lot of fans on social media in the SEC right now, it seems.
Yeah, it's look, it's his radio show, so obviously, you know, he's around, like, look, it's being streamed, so everyone can watch it, but it's, you know, he's in an environment where it's like, you know, if you're there at Brookhaven, you know, you're a diehard Memphis fan, right? And so those people, sometimes they'll say stuff that's kind of like that. If you go through his whole radio show, he said a couple other things that, not to that extent, but things that, you know, like, get the fans to a little riled up or whatever it is. I don't think this was, like, yes, like you said, Georgia fans not handling it great. I don't think it was like he's got some issue with Georgia. I think it was just right. But look, I get it. Once it got picked up, people are all over it. We all know the Georgia stuff. We know how it's gone on. I don't think there's, like I said, I don't think there's anything like, wow, these guys are, this is a real thing. Hey, if we got to the playoff and there was a 12-5 matchup announced and Memphis happened to be heading to Athens, I think a lot of people would
bulletin
be,
board material.
Yeah, you want to talk about bulletin board material? It's funny because Brent Dorfer even he'll say during the week a lot of times, you know, we'll ask him stuff and he'll say like, "Well, I don't want to give out any bulletin board material." Yeah, not gonna be able to avoid that one if there's a Memphis Georgia game.
We have conspiracy theories. Connor, let me know. He let me in on them because Ryan is from Florida, and the conspiracy theories out there from Georgia fans are that he's trying to endear himself to Florida fans when Billy Napier gets fired. I love message boards. Yeah. That's message board stuff right there.
That really is. I saw one that was like, oh man, you talk about that. Like the Georgia AD is going to see that and he's going to immediately put Memphis on the schedule just to show him up. And I was like, no. I think Memphis fans would be pretty thrilled about that.
SEC teams, I don't see them doing that. 9-game SEC schedule. They probably don't have a lot of open dates, to be honest with you.
No, definitely not. So, I'm 100% always here for college football conspiracy theories. So let's get to those. But I think in terms of like, look, this is one of those things where it's like it's Tuesday, people are talking about it. I don't think they'll remember it by the time we get to Saturday.
Yeah. This isn't conspiracy theory, but I saw an ESPN story before we get to the Memphis Arkansas game coming up this weekend. I saw ESPN listed Ryan's name in the Virginia Tech opening with Brent Pry getting fired this past weekend. I mean, like, what's your feel on Ryan and the want to by other schools that may have openings in the Power Four to reach out to him, interview him, and bring him in?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Like you said, he was on that list. I actually saw him on a bunch of different lists. Virginia Tech a little bit more so than UCLA. Obviously, other jobs will come open. But I think that we're seeing it more now than we did really in the past. Like even kind of last coaching cycle, I don't know that we saw it that much. Like his name popped up a little bit, but certainly not as much as, you know, the Summerall's and right now the Golishes and stuff like that. I think we're seeing it more because of the, like, you look at all those articles when there's a little like thing under every coach of like a description, you're seeing the like overall record, you're seeing the back-to-back 10 win seasons, things like that. So it feels like if Memphis has another season where they get to double digit wins or make the conference championship, then it's going to be really, okay, those discussions are happening on a more serious level. But I think you're seeing already that it's ramped up from even last year, just because people are looking at the kind of holistic thing of, okay, well, he's won here. He's further away from the Norvell era, so they can't just say that it was part of that, right? I think all those things are important, and you're starting to see that.
The twofold things, like if somebody was to reach out to him for the Virginia Tech job and offer him that job, two things. One, I don't know if Virginia Tech's going to do that because they've already dive head first into the Memphis head coaching thing where they hired a former Memphis head coach and they didn't get the results they wanted. But also for Ryan, when you compare the Memphis and Virginia Tech job as the Virginia Tech job stands right now, yes, it's Power Four. Yes, it's in a power conference. But like, how much better is it of a job, or is it a better job in your opinion?
Yeah, that one is an interesting, and it's really interesting. Like, I saw this with UCLA. There was a tweet that went around, I forget who it was, when they were talking about John Summerall being the UCLA coach, and everyone's like, why would he leave Tulane to go to UCLA? Like, he's already in a better job. UCLA is clearly in a pretty tough position, but they're in the Big Ten. I think with Virginia Tech, like, it feels like they're at a point with their program, kind of if you look at what they're saying, their AD and kind of the noise around that program is like they feel like they need to invest now, which is one of the reasons why they made the coaching change. And so I would guess that whoever it is that they hire, their question in the interview is going to be like, well, what is the level of investment that is going to come to this program? Because if you want to compete in this conference, you're going to have to invest, and it's possible that they will. So I think Virginia Tech probably will end up being a job that I think people will have interest in. I don't know. Obviously, Shane Beamer is the top of the list, but I don't know that they're going to end up with that level. But I think that job is with the right situation, and if the investment is coming, that'll be a solid job. Some of these other ones, you know, you just don't really know. I think UCLA is questionable. Obviously, other jobs will open up. I think it'll be a case-by-case thing, though. But like you said, there is a case to be made that some of these lower-level power conference jobs are not – they're not better jobs in Memphis, not the kind of jobs that you would want to leave for.
Yep. All right. Now, getting to Memphis, Arkansas this weekend, I want to bring you in on what I just discussed regarding this matchup and my biggest concern. My biggest concern is this Memphis defense and their ability to contain Talen Green. Talen Green seems to have taken another step this year. He's already a very physically talented guy. 6'6", 220, runs about a 4.5 40, has a good arm, can expose intermediate short routes as well as deep routes. Like, he's very good at that. And I thought he had a really good game against Ole Miss this past weekend, even though they ended up losing. But he has accounted for in three games 1,173 offensive yards throwing and rushing, and he's accounted for 13 touchdowns. So I guess my first question here to you is, what can the Memphis defense do to make sure this doesn't become some insane shootout, and what can they do to limit Talen Green and his ability coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, the top thing I would say is great turnovers. Like, I think that's the path for Memphis to be, like, in this game, the chance for Memphis to keep it close or to have success is to create turnovers, because I don't think you can go in there and say, yeah, they'll just shut down this offense with what we've seen them be able to do and the talent that we know they have. Now, you can create turnovers, right? Obviously, we saw it on the last drive with Arkansas against Ole Miss. It's possible to do that. And that's been the thing that Jordan Hankins has wanted to do, and the thing that Memphis was really good at last year was creating turnovers. So I think that's the key. I think if Memphis does not create multiple turnovers, it's going to be really hard to be competitive in this game. With Talen Green, look, it's easier said than done with a mobile quarterback. Keep him in the pocket, right? That's the ideal. I don't know how they're going to try to defend him. Are they going to try to spy him? It's not really been something that Jordan Hankins has done a lot of. And if you go back, this running quarterbacks have been a problem for Memphis, right? Just ask Blake Horvath. Like, there's been issues with how Memphis is trying to defend against those types of players. And so I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. Like you just said, first of all, Talen Green is playing at a crazy level, as Ryan Sorfer said, you know, a Heisman-like level right now. And it's going to be tough for anyone to stop him. I think with this Memphis defense, I don't know they're equipped to kind of shut them down. And so, like I said, the turnovers, that has to be the goal from the outset.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem, like, if you're just sort of looking at the other side of the ball, is if Memphis is not able to contain Talen Green, and this has to become a game where you have a shootout win and you have to get into a shootout. Connor asked me this question, and I don't have a lot of hope that the offense would be able to do this, but do you think that this offense could keep up if that became the situation? Based on what you've seen. I know we could talk about how vanilla the playbook has been. They haven't run a whole bunch of passing concepts. They haven't aired it out a whole bunch. But do you think that this offense, with what they have at their disposal, could keep up in a shootout?
Yeah, look, based on what we've seen, no, because we haven't seen it yet, right? And so I think that's the thing with this game is Arkansas, we've seen what they can do. We saw what they did against Ole Miss offensively. We know they have defensive problems. Memphis, we've seen them, you know, run the ball and grind games out and really haven't been competitive, and they haven't needed to show all that stuff. And even today we're talking offensive coordinator Tim Kranzi, and he says, like, Brendan Lewis can throw the deep ball. Like, he 100%, he can make all the throws. We feel confident throwing the ball down the field, and we're able to do that. We haven't seen it in a game consistently, right? We've seen a couple deep throws. We haven't seen that type of move the ball quickly, shootout style game. Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean they can't do it. But until we see it, you know, there's reason to be skeptical about it. And it feels like this weekend they're going to have to go there at some point. And if Memphis is going to play that way and it's going to win, it would be really impressive, because you would have to essentially play against type, right? Like, your ideal and your game plan is to run the ball. Yep. So if you can beat this Arkansas team by throwing the ball down the field and getting a shootout, that'd be really impressive, because you'd be able to win a game in a way that was not your ideal game plan. But it's really tough to do that at any level of college football, to win a game when the other team is kind of controlling the pace the game is being played at. And it feels like that's Memphis's path in this game, which makes it a really tough matchup.
Now, one thing we have seen from this offense, they run the ball very effectively. And granted, we could talk about the competition, but what's your confidence level that they can take that run game and translate it into playing against a SEC caliber defense with SEC caliber players?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to be a little bit more inventive. Like, if you saw Sam Pittman was saying yesterday, he said, like, they're really good at running inside zone. They just run inside zone. Now, obviously, you know, like, inside zone is not the most, like, complicated.
That's day one. That is the first play you install every time you get into fall camp. I can tell you that right now. It's the first thing.
Yeah, and so what Sam Pittman was like, yeah, they're really good at running inside zone. Now, it's also the first thing if you show up to a game and you're playing a team that, you know, isn't very good and you run inside zone and they can't stop it, you're not going to go to the next thing. You're just going to keep running it, right? And that's what Memphis has done the first two games of the season is like, we're going to line up and run inside zone and you're not going to stop it. Why would I run a different play? And like, totally fair. Like, you know, you're playing Madden against someone, you keep running one play and they don't stop it. You're not going to, you know, you're going to run whatever it is the entire time. And so like, do I think that Arkansas is going to have answers for that, that other teams haven't? Yes. And I think once again, that means Memphis is going to have to do something else.
Right.
They can do it. They have talent.
Hope would be Ryan is a O-line coach. I played in his O-line room when Mike Norvell was there. We had a lot of different run schemes. Now, I will admit, we didn't necessarily hide them all the time, even when we were playing inferior competition. We ran them. So, like, the hope would be, okay, they've kept those in their back pocket until now.
Yeah, and look, I think Memphis is going to put up points in this game. I don't think that this Arkansas – I think Arkansas's defense has a lot of issues, and I think you're going to see that throughout the season. I just think the teams that are going to beat Arkansas this year, like you saw last week, are the ones that can throw the ball down the field and move the ball quickly. Now, Memphis has talent, and they could do that. I think running the ball, they're going to have success running the ball. And like I said, I think they're going to put up points. I just don't know if they have enough explosiveness offensively to combat that if Taylen Green is, you know, scoring every possession. Then you're in a really tough situation. And like I said, we haven't seen it yet, but I would expect the run game to continue to hum. It just wears the passing game at this point.
Now, looking into the future with this series, was it the 2026 game has been delayed or moved, right?
Or yeah, 2030.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you know about if that game will get played or not? I know that's what it looks like right now, that it will get played, but we know it's 9 SEC games. There's a lot of different challenges that SEC programs are having right now. So maybe by the time we get there, they may not want to play that game. What's your feel, and what have you heard based on asking questions to Ryan and to people behind the scenes?
Yeah, I think right now it's still a ways away. I mean, they're going to play in 2028, right? So that'll be the real – I know people are talking about the 2030 game because it was moved, but really the game at 2038 will be the metric, right? Because if they play that game, then you would think that they'll be interested in playing the 2030 game. Both those games are scheduled to be in Fayetteville, which is obviously an advantage for Arkansas to have a home game on the schedule. It's just hard to say because there's so many unknowns with college football. 2030 is a ways away. Who's the Arkansas coach going to be? Who's the AD going to be? I don't know if you saw what Hunter Yurecek was saying yesterday about football at Arkansas. Their AD, like, what is the situation going to be with Arkansas football? There's so many questions. It's hard to say. But I think, look, Memphis is playing. We know that these games are going to be harder to schedule for Memphis in the future, SEC games, because of the 9-game stuff, because of everything. And this game on Saturday is a big deal. You know, we don't know how many more games like that there will be in the future. Obviously, Mississippi State is on the schedule. But, yeah, right now it's hard to say. And then, obviously, the other part of it is Memphis has to find another game for next year, which is really hard. I mean, that's not a lot of time, right? We talk about games being scheduled 15 years in advance. Shout out to, I think it was Liberty and JMU scheduling a game for 2040. Let's see how that plays out too with Memphis trying to get a game for next season.
Yeah, before I let you roll, is this going to be your first power conference game in the sim, in the Liberty Bowl, having covered the Tigers?
Yeah, it will
be.
Okay.
Yeah. I would imagine you're hyped up a little bit. You probably haven't seen that type of environment there yet.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what it's like because obviously we've got the stadium that's still under renovation, right? And then you've got how many Arkansas. They said yesterday there were still 5,000 tickets available. Would expect Memphis fans to want to show up because this is the one to do it. And then obviously we know Arkansas will travel. So I'm interested to see what that stadium looks like because it hasn't been full since the renovation started, even with the limited capacity. But I feel like it's going to be on Saturday.
Yep. So we'll see. But appreciate it, Jonah. Great stuff as always.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. He is Jonah Dillon covering Tiger football and Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. He is on X, and we learned why, because of Jimmy Graham, apparently. He's on X at the Jonah Dillon. Now, you know what pairs well with football? That would be Old Dominic. Go get a bottle of Old Dominic today. Whenever you show up to your liquor store of your choice as you approach the weekend, get a bottle of Old Dominic. They have whatever your heart desires. Gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. Whiskey and bourbon, award-winning selections of each. They have a new premium vodka that you can dive into. As we get to the colder weather months, deeper into the football season, make sure you get a bottle of Toddy. It is their longest-standing spirit, and it is phenomenal. But a spirit from Old Dominic's, the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in the city, because the distillery is in the city. Right on the riverfront is where you can find them, 305 South Front Street. They have events all the time, watch parties, tastings, all of that stuff. Or even if you're out on the town, if you're just out on the town, you want a nightcap, go to Old Dominic, get a craft cocktail at their bar. But check out all of their details, all of that at olddominic.com. If you need a space for awards ceremony, a corporate luncheon, if you have a you know, wedding rehearsal dinner or a wedding reception, go to olddominic.com, fill out their questionnaire. They will get you handled for that. You can ship Old Dominic spirits using that website. Get them as a gift. You have a lot of people from out of town, extended family members, friends, that don't get their hands on a bottle of Old Dominic all the time. So send it to them. You can do that using olddominic.com. Old Dominic Distillery. Come say hi. All right. Now, transitioning from college football to NFL, let's take a trip around the National Football League when we return. Right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. National Football League, Connor, hit it. All right, so A.J. Brown was asked about his lackluster performance through 2 weeks, and really the Eagles' offense lackluster performance through 2 weeks, even though they're 2-0 and won two really good games. And this is what he had to say.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so he says it's a fair thing to talk about, their inefficiency and their lack of explosive plays through 2 weeks. And I think you heard the tone of a voice for A.J. Brown through the radio airwaves. But, Connor, for those that did not get to see the video, well, how would you explain his demeanor when giving that answer?
Not very excitable.
He's not happy. And, like, I get it. They're 2-0, and they're winning games, and nothing really drastic has to change when you're winning games, especially against the Chiefs like that. But so far this year, A.J. Brown, who's a premier wide receiver in the National Football League, has 6 catches for 35 yards, no touchdowns. Like, I get where he's frustrated. But I will say this, and I, at risk of sounding like the premier Jalen Hurts supporter of this radio station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. He always does it when it matters. Right? He always does it when it matters. The Super Bowl a few years back against the Chiefs, even though they lost, he made plenty of explosive plays through the air. The playoffs last year, pretty consistently on their run to the Super Bowl, he made those plays downfield. In the Super Bowl itself, made those plays downfield, got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, all his wide receivers involved. So, I guess, and Connor, I do want your opinion on this as well. I think we do this song and dance every year, and it always becomes a moot point with the Eagles for the most part. Maybe not 2 years ago when they bowed out early in the playoffs and everybody wanted everybody fired, but it just feels like we do this too often to not have learned our lesson by now. Right,
we do it every single year with Jalen Hurts, especially the last few seasons. And I saw it over the weekend. I mean, you even had Chris Jones say something about it during the game, and then Jalen Hurts kind of shut him up pretty quickly.
And I love the trash talk. Awesome.
We won the game. Jalen Hurts wins football games, and he shows up when he needs to. He has shown that he can put the team on his back when he needs to. And he is a Super Bowl MVP and beat the Chiefs last year. That was 3 games ago for Jalen Hurts that he did that. So it feels a little overblown for me. To be quite honest, I think a lot of the conversation, and we can be honest about it, comes from fantasy football location of the NFL.
And also, A.J. Brown can be a little bit of a hothead.
A.J. Brown does this every year.
He
does it every year.
Like, so you want to keep him happy. You don't want to have that discord in a locker room, and I understand that. But, like, in the end of the day, if I'm defining Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, he takes care of the ball, and he makes the plays to win a ball game, whether it's by 3, whether it's by 30, whether it's by 50. And I just feel like we have done this and gone down this road too often to not have learned our lesson by now. But what do we have next? I saw this, and I just want to send a prayer out to Sean McVay. On the sideline while he was coaching in a win against the Tennessee Titans last Sunday, he tore his plantar fascia. Oh. I mean, that's one of those injuries that it's not overly serious. You're going to recover. But I can't imagine how painful that is. I've had plantar fasciitis before, right? Like fasciitis before, and it hurts like hell. Imagine tearing that ligament. I just a quick story time real quick. And not much of a story, but Drew Kaiser, who was my center during my days at the University of Memphis, he may be listening right now, so shout out Drew. He tore his plantar fascia his junior year, and we had to finish out the year. He didn't sit out any games, tough as nails. They had to put a metal plate in the bottom of his shoe, all that. But after every single game and when he tore his plantar fascia, it looks like there's a softball on the bottom of your foot. Because that's what's tearing, is the ligament in the bottom of your foot. For those that don't know, like just reach down, feel that ligament. That's what tears. Painful as hell. The swelling is insane. Now, luckily, Sean McVay doesn't have to go out there and run the ball or throw the ball or do anything like that, but that's a painful-ass injury. Just wanted to throw that out there. Kalijah Kancey got hurt last night. The interior defensive lineman who, through his first 2 years, had 11.5 sacks for that Buccaneers defense and has been very, very useful for them. Looks like he's torn his pec. So he's probably going to miss the rest of the year, but they're getting some imaging done, some MRI imaging done. So we'll see what that looks like by the time we get to later in the day, today or tomorrow. But it looks like he's torn his pec and will be out for the rest of the year. Joe Burrow got hurt. We know about that. And I know that it's going to be an uphill battle for the Bengals to accomplish anything this year. But I came across their quarterback depth chart because they've had to make some moves to sort of make sure they have enough depth since Joe Burrow is going to be out for 3 months. And Connor, it's one thing to know Joe Burrow is going to be out. It's another to like see what's behind him. Jake Browning starting, Brett Rippon backup. They brought in Sean Clifford to be the third string and Mike White. Is going to be the fourth string. I believe he'll be on practice squad. That's just scary hours. That's no fun for Bengals fans who feel like they have at least the offensive weapons to make something happen. To have that just ripped away from you like that and have Jake Browning as your starting quarterback and Brett Rippon as the backup, I mean, that hurts. So I saw that, and my heart started to hurt for Bengals fans. Just wanted to say. Jadeveon Clowney expects to play coming up this weekend, so he'll get involved very quickly against the Bears. His debut will be on Sunday. I don't know what to expect. You know what to expect. He's old, and he's never really popped that much. He was solid with the Texans for some years, and he's had some solid years. But I don't know what he's going to do in a Dallas Cowboys uniform. The fact that this is kind of the answer to get your pass rush back after you traded Micah Parsons, it's just like. You couldn't do any better than that. You couldn't find somebody out there that was willing to be traded, a Trey Hendrickson or something.
Russ like, almost put 500 yards on you. I think he did. He hit 500?
I think he was high 300s.
You'd I thought he was in check. The fours.
Go check. Let's check this. Let's do some really good radio. I think I have it in front of me. Here we go. I can find this quickly. Okay. 40 to 37. Oh, no. You're right. 450.
Let Russ cook.
So yeah, I don't think Jadeveon Clowney is going to solve all those issues.
Real quick, it is also the most Russ and Giants thing of all time. Like, all they needed was a field goal, and Russ was like, "I'm going deep," and then immediately threw a pick.
And by the way, did you see the close up sideline thing of Jameis and Jackson Dart?
No,
you haven't seen that?
No,
is it AI? Am I being fooled?
What are you talking about?
I thought there was a close-up of the sideline where they did the eat the W thing, and Jackson Dart actually put his fingers in Jameis Winston's
mouth. That probably happened.
It was gross. That's not something you should do.
Should the Bengals trade for Jameis?
Yeah. I've heard worse plans. I really have. I've heard worse plans. Why not? All right, so did you see this situation that unfolded with the Steelers?
Did.
They
yeah.
lost 31-17. And really, the death blow was a gaffe in special teams. So, early in the fourth quarter, Jason Myers kicks a field goal to take the lead, 17-14, over the Steelers. The ensuing kickoff was kicked off by Jason Myers, and a young rookie out of Iowa named Caleb Johnson is the returner for the Steelers. Now, with the new rules, you have the landing zone and you have touchbacks, but the ball is always live if it lands in the landing zone. Caleb Johnson didn't know that, so the ball lands in the landing zone. He sort of muffs it, didn't really know what he was doing, but he thought it was college rules. So it hits in the landing zone and bounces into the end zone, and it sits right there at the back of the end zone. The Seahawks go down, land on it, and that's a touchdown because it landed in the landing zone. It's a live ball. The Steelers have announced that it's probably unlikely that Caleb Johnson will be a kick returner ever again for them. That's what they announced today. But I will say, I feel like that's one of those mistakes you make once, and you'll never make it again.
Never again.
So, like, I wouldn't even be bothered if the Steelers said, "We'll put him back there again. We trust him as a kick returner." We now have an understanding of what the new kickoff rules are. And I feel like for a guy who's a rookie in his second game, or fifth game, including preseason, like, I feel like that's a relatively, it's a bad mistake, horrible mistake,
well,
game-changing mistake, losing mistake, but it's a mistake that is kind of understandable.
Yes. Now, it being the Steelers, and I know it's only the second game of the season, it could also be a season-changing mistake.
Potentially, yes. So I guess you have to keep your fans happy or whatever, and maybe you're that mad at Caleb Johnson, it's like, we're not going to let you do that anymore, but my opinion, if I was a coach, I'd say, "Hey, Caleb, do you know the rules now?" And Caleb would say, "Yes, I absolutely do. I have no misunderstanding about it anymore. I just cost our team a touchdown that had us lose the game. I get it now. I will never make that mistake again." But looks like the Steelers are going to go in a different direction. But that will do it for a trip around the National Football League. We'll come back with small talk, and Connor, he's going to give you some Robert Redford movies to go watch tonight. So let's do that on the other side, 99 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Sad day today. Robert Redford has passed away at the age of 89, actor and director. A lot of great work over the years. It was just a very short bout with an illness. Passed away in his home in Utah. But this is one of those days, Connor, where I just turn it over to you. Holler at me.
Yeah, the loss of Robert Redford is significant and giant. He is truly one of the most significant figures in American history when it comes to entertainment, especially film history. I think that Ethan Hawke, he paid tribute to Robert Redford, and he put it beautifully, so I'm just going to read what he wrote. He said, our ultimate champion of independent film, relentless advocate for authentic storytelling and fiercely passionate environmentalist, Robert's legacy remains ingrained in our culture, transformed by its artistry, activism, and the founding of Sundance Institute and Film Festival. So Robert Redford, I don't know if a lot of people know, he founded the Sundance. So he was a true champion of independent film. He spoke out about social issues and politics when he needed to. He has a Medal of Freedom in 2016. He was awarded that. I believe it was 2016 when he was awarded that. I might be wrong. Yeah, Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2016. Academy Award winner in 1981 for Ordinary People in directing. It, weirdly enough, his only Academy Award came for directing, but he was a great director. A lot of people know him for his acting, though. And if tonight you're going home and you want to watch a Robert Redford movie,
holler at me. What's out there?
The good news is that you have a lot to choose from. He was truly one of the greatest actors that we have ever had, one of the best leading men that we have ever had. If you want to go to early Robert Redford, you could always do Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. That's where he gets to pair up with Paul Newman. Another one where he got to pair up with Paul Newman, who was one of his best friends, and it is, you know, there is some comfort knowing that he's back with Paul. Now, The Sting from 1973, Robert Shaw is also in that movie. A lot of people would know him as Quint from Jaws. He's in that movie as well. The Sting is phenomenal. A lot of people consider The Sting his best movie overall. I would even say that's probably my favorite Robert Redford movie is The Sting. Tonight, personally, I'm going to choose to watch All the President's Men. It's a journalism movie. It's about Watergate and the story breaking and Bob Woodward, the guy who helped with Watergate, and that the movie is about essentially. He put out a very nice note about Robert Redford today. I highly recommend going to watch All the President's Men. I think that it's also topical given a lot of the things that are going on. A couple thrillers that are fun. You have 3 Days of the Condor. The Natural is a sports movie, spy game with Brad Pitt, who is basically trying to replicate Robert Redford's career. The Great Gatsby, not very good, but, you know, it's still fun, The Great Gatsby. It's just he says old sport about 1,000 times, so if you want to play a drinking game while you're doing that, you may die. Indecent Proposal, Jeremiah Johnson, that's the famous gift that's been going around today. Jeremiah Johnson, that's a great one that you can watch. All Is Lost is his last really great performance in 2013. May have won an Oscar for it if he had a little bit more push. Ordinary People, it's a phenomenal film from 1980. It's the one that he won at the 81 Academy Awards. A crowd pleaser, a very fun heist movie with an unbelievable cast, Sneakers. If you're looking just for something to sit down and watch a really fun movie with Robert Redford with an amazing cast, I would recommend Sneakers. And then you have a couple others to choose from, but I think those are the major ones. Quiz Show was another movie that he directed that was phenomenal. Quiz Show is fantastic, has a great Ralph Fiennes performance in it. They're just, you cannot choose wrong when you're choosing a Robert Redford movie.
And I think just about everything you've mentioned is available on streaming.
It should be. Barefoot in the Park, yeah, that's a famous one from 1967. He does show up in some of the Avengers movies and Captain America Winter Soldier. He is in that. So if you want to get some Marvel in it and you want to see Robert Redford, that's one of his, that may have actually been his last performance. No, I think he may have had one or two more after that, but one of his last performances is Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and then those Avengers movies. But it is Robert Redford's legacy is going to go a very, very long way. He created the Sundance. He has always lifted up independent film. He has always spoken out about issues that he felt needed speaking out. It's a massive, massive loss. Rest in peace, Robert Redford. We are truly going to miss you. There's a great Twilight episode where he plays death and he helps an old woman go peacefully into death. And I hope that was what his experience was when he passed.
Yep. Now, rest in peace to Robert Redford. We have to move on, go to hour number three. Hour number three will open up, as it normally does on a Tuesday, with Christian Fowler, so stick around for that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.